Philippians 4 and verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein you were also careful, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Notwithstanding, you have well done that you did communicate with my affliction. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica you sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odour of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now unto God and our Father be glory for ever and ever. Amen. May the Lord bless that reading of his word. Now tonight I want to speak about giving. If fasting was a difficult one, giving might prove to be a difficult one. But if you give to a great extent, it might help you to fast. Giving. It's a touchy subject. It's a delicate subject in some respects. It's one that people don't like to hear too many messages about, naturally speaking. And I guess it was the case also in the days in which Paul was writing, because he says, quite clearly, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but you only. Only one church concerned with giving. Now I want to start with a verse from Proverbs, and I want to end with another verse from Proverbs. And the verse from Proverbs I would like to start with is Proverbs 23 and verse 26. And it's a series of exhortations from father to son. And if we can elevate our idea of father to heavenly father, and we, his children, sons and daughters of God, children of God, in Proverbs 23, the father says to the son, the father says to the child, he says, my son, give me thine heart. Let thine eyes observe my ways. And the plea here is concerning giving. In the first place, give me your heart. And if we're talking about giving, that is what God requires. Give me your heart. Giving by itself is nothing. Giving by itself is nothing. The unsaved give. The unsaved may give to great measure, far more than we do. And in fact, Paul says in that well-known chapter in 1 Corinthians 13, and in verse 3, he says, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profits me nothing. And without that divine love in our hearts, unless we have given God our hearts, unless we have allowed him to do his work in our hearts and in our lives, unless we are motivated by his love working in us, we can give everything we've got. Not 10%, we can give 100%. And it profits nothing. And so an important start as an introduction is that our hearts must be right with God and we must be moving in love. Giving. There's a lot written about it. There's a lot said about it in Christian circles and evangelical circles. And somehow I get the idea that when the message is given about giving, it's not very kindly received. Let's look at what the scripture says about giving. And I want to consider really, although we are considering giving, but I want to get into this also, the idea of tithing of giving a tenth. Because evangelical teaching is saturated with the idea of tithing, giving a tenth. Now we find it mentioned in the Bible. But I want to find out what the Lord requires of us concerning giving and concerning tithing. You see, certain people, when you mention finances, and they've said it to me, say, have you preached to them on tithing recently? Them being the flock, you know, them, the vague mass, them. They're my brothers and sisters in the Lord, them. Have you given them something on tithing recently? This is how they talk in ministers' meetings. Give them something on tithing. So you preach a message on tithing, everybody then gives 10%, and if they're good, obedient people, they covenant it as well, so you get the extra bonus there as well. And that's supposed to be doing the will of the Lord and living a good Christian life. So giving in itself, tithing in itself, the Pharisees tithed, is nothing. Let's look at what the scripture says. And the first idea that we get in the Bible of tithing, of giving a tenth, is of Abraham. I want you to see in this scripture concerning Abraham that what he was involved in was a free act of worship. Nobody said to Abraham, "Oi, you've got to give a tenth of that to God." Or, "You've got to give a tenth of that to God's representative." It was a free will response. It was a free act of worship. It was grace manifested. And so if you turn to Genesis and chapter 14, and we'll read it from verse 18. Abraham has returned from the slaughter of the kings. He's won a tremendous victory. And in verse 18 it says, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abraham," or Abram as he then was, "of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered thine enemies into thy hand." And he gave him tithes of all. First, note that Abraham, or Abram as he then was blessed by Melchizedek. This king came forth from Jerusalem, or Salem, and he blessed Abram. And he brought forth food, bread and wine to sustain him. There was blessing and provision from the Lord. Now Melchizedek means king of righteousness. And he was the king of Salem, king of peace. And he came out and blessed Abraham. And in response to the blessing that he received from this one who was the king of righteousness, Abraham, it says, gave tithes of all. And the word tithe, Hebrew idea, is a tenth. He gave a tenth of all. And people say, "There we are. You give a tenth." Do you want to do what Abraham did? Abraham gave it all away. Because as you read on, you'll find that he kept nothing for himself. He gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. And the king of Sodom said, "You can keep what you've got. I just want the people back." And Abraham said, "No, I'm taking nothing from you. It's all yours." Abraham kept nothing. Not a thing. He gave it all. Are you keen on making a law for yourself out of the scripture? Are you basing giving 10% because Abraham gave 10%? Abraham gave 100%. Give it all away. Oh, I'm not so keen on making a rule like that for myself. Give it all. Now in Hebrews chapter 7, we get the New Testament commentary on this episode. Hebrews chapter 7, we'll read from verse 1. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abides a priest continually. Consider now how great this man was. unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, have a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham. But he whose descent is not counted from them received tithes of Abraham, and blessed him that had the promises. And without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the greater. And here men that die receive tithes, but there he receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives. And as I may so say, Levi also, who receives tithes, that is under the law, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. We'll leave it there. What it brings out is this, that later on the law would make a commandment for the people of Israel to give a tenth of their increase, a tithe. But what Paul says here, remember I believe that Paul wrote Hebrews, what Paul says here is that what happened in Abraham transcends the law. For one, it was before the law was given. There was no commandment for Abraham to give tithes. And two, his argument is that Levi, the tribe, the priestly tribe that was to receive the tithes under the law, were in Abraham when he gave tithes to Melchizedek. So what was provided in the law for them was subservient to this greater act that Abraham was involved in. This transcends the law. Abraham gave tithes of all to Melchizedek. And what we see is that in the New Testament, in Hebrews, Paul likens Melchizedek and says that he is a type of Jesus Christ. He is made like unto the Son of God. And he says, under the law, men that die received tithes. But here, the one who receives tithes is the one that lives. We've got a picture of Abraham, the believer, the man of faith, giving tithes to one who is the King of Righteousness, a picture of Jesus Christ. Now remember, Abraham gave a tenth, but he was giving all. And I think we'll find this in the Scripture and in the New Testament, that our giving, certainly in the New Testament, our giving, what the law requires of us, is not just to eke out a tenth to him. You may have thought this evening that I was going to say, well, it doesn't matter what you give, because it sounded as though I was going to say, no, we're not under any obligation to give a tenth. Well, we're not under an obligation to give a tenth. We're under an obligation to give everything. All. 10 lepers came to Jesus. A tenth returned to give thanks. And what did Jesus say? That's enough? That's sufficient? No, he said, where are the other 9? He wanted the 90% as well as the 10%. He wanted 100% returning to give thanks. It was a free act of worship from Abraham in response to divine grace. And when the Scripture reminds us, you are not your own, you are bought with a price, then everything that we have, if we could, like Paul, can say we are bond slaves of Jesus Christ, a bond slave, everything that a bond slave had, if he had anything, belonged to his master. And everything that we have belongs to him. It's giving all to him. Hallelujah. We're stewards of what we have. We don't actually possess it. It's the Lord's. All that we have is the Lord's. Because we're bought with a price. We're not our own. And we're stewards. And we've got to be faithful stewards. Now in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 1, Paul says there, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia. And then in verse 7, he says, therefore, as you abound in everything, in faith, utterance, knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. What grace? The grace of giving. And he refers to giving as grace. It's the grace of God. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12, a bit further down, he refers to a willing mind. If there first be a willing mind concerning giving. Abraham gave free willingly, if there is such a phrase. He gave of his own free will tithes to Melchizedek. And when we give, first, says Paul, first, a willing mind. there's to be a willing mind. And if we have a heart filled with God's love, if we have a heart that's yielded to him, we will know the truth of the scripture that says in Philippians also, "For it is God that works in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure." So giving a tithe, 10%, a tenth, plus what the Bible, the Old Testament, calls the free will offerings, is an act of grace. Free will. It was before the law. It transcends the law. It is the reality for which the law provides but a shadow. The commandment in the law to give tithes was a shadow of the real teaching concerning tithing. Paul says in Galatians that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ, because we didn't know how to behave or what to do. The law constrained us and forced us, if you like, compelled us along a certain road. But now we who are saved, we who are born again, we have been born into reality with the Spirit of the Lord filling us, with his law written on our hearts. So it's no longer an outward constraint, but something which is motivated by love from within. Don't clutch at the shadow. That's what evangelicalism has done. It's clutched at the shadow of tithing and made it a rule, made it a regulation. You know, there are some churches that have boasted that they will not allow anybody to become a member of their church until they've been baptised, they've been saved, baptised, and until they tithe regularly. That's making a regulation. That's making a rule. That's nothing to boast about. That's bringing men and women under a burden. We're not to do that. We're to encourage men and women to know the love of God working in their hearts, so that all they do is a response of grace and a free will response to the grace of God and to his blessing. And we will know our giving to be 100%. So that's Abraham. The free act of worship, grace. Well, what about the law that we've mentioned already? What about the law? Let's have a look at the law. The law laid down tithing as a duty for every Israelite to give a tenth. Now, I don't want to read through these scriptures tonight because time is rapidly running out. But in Deuteronomy 14 and verse 22, and in Leviticus 27 and verses 30 to 34, you can read about laws of tithing. Tithing of the increase of the field, of the seed that's sown. Tithing of animals and such like. A tenth taken out and given to the Lord. It was commanded. It had to be done. So that when the harvest was brought in, they would have so much grain and a tenth would be for the Lord. And when they counted the cattle in, every tenth one was for the Lord. It was the Lord's. It was holy to him. Now that was imposed. They had to do it. It was mechanical. Whether they would or not, they had to do it if they were to be part of Israel. We're not like that. The word of God shows to us that we are now moved by his Spirit within and guided by him and taught by him. We're not children, babes that need the schoolmaster of the law. We're free from that. Praise the name of the Lord. And yet churches get into this business of making rules on tithing, of giving a tenth. And they even get into Pharisaical squabbles about whether the 10% should be before tax or after tax. Before you've paid your superannuation or after you've paid your superannuation. I don't want to get into that sort of argument and squabble. That's the sort of thing the Pharisees did. And should I value every gift that I'm given? I go through my Christmas presents and I work out how much they all cost. And then I give 10%. If that's what the Lord leads you to do, do it. I know people that have done that. And if they feel happy about that and they feel that's what the Lord wants them to do, fine. But don't start making rules about it to make everybody do it and to make them feel as though they're the biggest sinner on earth if they don't do it. And to bring them under a burden. Because every believer should feel that what I have is not my own, it's the Lord's, and it's his 100%. Now if you look at Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12, here's the bit of the rule that they don't quote in evangelical teaching on this subject. But in Deuteronomy 26 and verse 12, and it appears in other scriptures too in the Old Testament, it tells you that 10% was given, a tithe, in the year of tithing, which was every third year. Do you hear them teaching in evangelical circles that they give a tithe once every 3 years? No way. The tithe was given every 3 years. That bit dropped by the wayside somewhere in making up the rules based on the law. We're interested in the 10%, but not in the every third year rule. And another thing they ignore is for whom the tithe was. We'll come to that later on. So it becomes an outward observance only if we're not careful. If it's a matter of rules and regulations. This is what's wrong with rules and regulations. It's mere outward observance. Anybody can do it. You can get an unsafe person in here and make them conform to certain aspects of the law. Not all of the law, because none can keep it. But you can make them give a tenth. They're not saved, but you can make them give a tenth. It's hollow and meaningless. So the proverb says, give me your heart. Give in love. See, the Lord, when he spoke to Amos, through Amos, centuries before Christ, through Amos chapter 4. If I say it's sarcastic, I don't mean in the human, spiteful sense of sarcasm, but there is a certain sarcasm that comes through here, through the message of Amos. Not in the human sense, you understand. But God says, come to Bethel, through Amos, and transgress. He's telling the people, this is what you're doing. He said, go on, that's what you want to do, isn't it? You go to Bethel. What's Bethel? The house of God. And transgress. Why? There was sin there. Idolatry. At Gilgal, multiply transgression. And bring your sacrifices every morning. And your tithes after 3 years. There's the every 3 year rule again. And offer a sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. And proclaim and publish the free offerings. Come on, do all this. You're saying, you know, we keep the law, don't we? You're moaning about our idolatry and all the rest of it, but we're keeping the law as well. He says, for this liketh you. This is what you love to do, says the Lord. O you children of Israel, saith the Lord God. And I also have given you cleanness of teeth. Why have they got cleanness of teeth? Because they've got nothing to eat. In all your cities, want of bread in all your places. Yet have you not returned unto me, says the Lord. And he was saying to them, you can carry on doing all that you're doing according to the law, the sacrifices and the tithes every 3 years. But you've not returned to me. Jesus said about the Pharisees, didn't he? Matthew 23 and verse 23. These are the things we've got to steer clear of, you see. And it seems to me that time and again, in evangelical circles, I keep emphasising evangelical, because this isn't just church teaching, this is what evangelical churches have done, that they've fallen into the traps that the scriptures bring out. And in Matthew 23 and verse 23, it says this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin. These are herbs. Well, there was nothing wrong with that particularly, although it's getting a bit to the point of being pedantic, of pulling off little bits of plant to tithe. But he says, you've omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment or justice, mercy and faith. These ought you to have done. Nothing wrong with tithing, if it's done right. And not to leave the other undone. And if you refer to the passage in Luke's Gospel, Luke 11 and verse 42, he refers to them omitting the weightier matters of the law, judgment, but he refers also to the love of God. You've passed over, he says, the love of God. You've got down to the duty of tithing to a fine detail. Don't people like to get to these things to a fine detail? Observing the law. We make sure we'll keep it in every respect. We're going to give a tithe of 10% of our income. We're going to give a tithe of every gift that everybody gives us. We're going to give a tithe of every little herb that grows in the garden. We're going to give a tithe of everything. We've got it down. There's nothing. I mean, they're boasting in what they can do. But he says, you've passed over the love of God. It's meaningless in the light of what he's missed. No, Jesus didn't say you shouldn't be doing that. He said, this you should have done. But if you'd done it in the right way, you'd have given me all. And then in Luke 18 and verse 12, we find that tithing was also done for another reason. For show. To be seen to be religious. To be seen to be pious. Luke 18 and verse 12. The Pharisee and the publican. The parable of the Pharisee and the publican. And the Pharisee said, I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. It becomes a human boast. That too is a danger. I know some people who feel very proud of how much and how regularly they tithe. give a 10%. And yet Jesus, when he was speaking in Matthew 6 and 1 to 4, he said, make sure that when you give alms, you don't do it before men to be seen of men, before the Lord. And we get that expression from Matthew, which has passed into our own English language. People use it in all sorts of contexts now. Don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, or your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Let it be that between you and the Lord, and not boastfully. Outward observance of the law. Just outward observance. It's no good. I believe if we're thinking about the law laid down a duty for Israel. Like a schoolmaster, the intention always in the law is to bring us to Christ. And they missed Christ. And they got the outward observance only. And evangelicals, if they're not careful, will get the outward observance only and they will miss Christ, even though they're Christians. They will miss Christ in their giving. And I think if we look at the law, you will find in the law that there is a principle here, a principle which goes right the way through Scripture. There is a principle which brings us right into the New Testament and finds its fullness in the New Testament. But it's in the law, if we will look for it. The principle of tithing, the principle of giving. In Numbers 18 and 21, it tells us that the tithes were for the Levites. The tithes were for the Levites. Now the Levites were the priestly tribe. They hadn't got quite so specialised as they did by the time of the New Testament, where you could refer to the priests and the Levites. The Levites were the priestly tribe. And the tithes of Israel, the 10%, the tenth that was brought in, the tenth of the grain, the tenth of the flocks and so on, that was for the Levites. They had no inheritance. They had no provision from work, because their work was to minister in the things of the Lord, in spiritual things. Here was their provision. The provision came from the people. Who is the tithe for in the New Testament? We'll come to it a bit later on. But Peter says, you are a holy priesthood, every one of you. You are a holy priesthood. Who are the tithes for? You're a holy priesthood. But even in the Old Testament, the tithes were not exclusively for the Levites. The tithes were also for the givers, and for the needy, and for the poor, that there might be blessing amongst the people of God. Look at Deuteronomy 12. Deuteronomy 12 and verses 17 and 18. Thou mayest not eat within thy gates the tithe of thy corn, or of thy wine, or of thy oil, or the firstlings of thy herds, or of thy flock, nor any of thy vows which thou vowest, nor thy freewill offerings, or heave offering of thine hand. But thou must eat them before the Lord thy God in the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, thou, thy son, thy daughter, manservant, maidservant, and the Levite that is within thy gates. And thou shalt rejoice before the Lord thy God in all that thou puttest thy hands to. Who's going to eat the tithes? You shall eat them. Chapter 14, verse 22. Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field brings forth year by year. Now that's chapter 14, verse 22. And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, Jerusalem. The tithe of thy corn, thy wine, thine oil, the firstlings of thy herds and thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, then, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then thou shalt turn it into money, bind up the money in thine hand, thou shalt go to the place which the Lord thy God shall choose. So if you've got a sheep, that's the tithe, you sell it. If you've got to go right the way from the north of Israel, you sell it, take the money to Jerusalem, and then when you get to Jerusalem, verse 26, thou shalt bestow that money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desires. You don't hear this in evangelical teaching, do you? And thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, there's the 3 years again, at the end of 3 years thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger, and the fatherless, And the widow which are within thy gates shall come and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thy hand which thou doest. And so the principle that I find here is a principle of blessing. Of God, and it's in the law. You take that away and just have a law of giving a tenth, putting it in the money box and going away, there's no blessing. Here is the blessing of the Lord brought forth, and all are satisfied. The poor, the needy, all are provided for. The priest who ministers, all are provided for. There is wonderful provision, because the people of God are a giving people. But there's blessing in it. There's the principle of blessing. Hallelujah. Deuteronomy 26. I want you to see these principles, these blessings in the Old Testament law, so that when we come to the New Testament, we can see the fullness of blessing in Jesus Christ. But if we read from the first verse of chapter 26, again it's referring, it shall be when thou art come into the land, verse 2, that thou shalt take of the first of all the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt bring of thy land, that the Lord thy God gives thee, shall put it in a basket, shall go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. And it goes through what they are to say, what they are to recite, they're to give their testimony, how the Lord brought them out, how he brought Abraham out, how he brought them out of Egypt, and so on. And verse 9, he's brought us to this place, given us this land, even a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, worship before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God has given unto thee, to thine house, thou and the Levite and the stranger that is among you. When thou hast made an end of tithing all the tithes of thine increase, the third year, there it is again, which is the year of tithing, and hast given it to the Levite, the stranger, the fatherless, the widow, that they may eat within thy gates and be filled, then thou shalt say before the Lord thy God, I have brought away the hallowed things out of mine house, and I've given them to the Levite, to the stranger, to the fatherless, to the widow, according to all thy commandments which thou hast commanded me. I have not transgressed thy commandments, neither have I forgotten them. I've not eaten thereof in my mourning, neither have I taken away aught thereof for any unclean use, nor given aught thereof for the dead. But I have hearkened to the voice of the Lord my God, and have done according to all that thou hast commanded me. Look down from thy holy habitation from heaven, and bless thy people Israel, and the land which thou hast given us, as thou swearest unto our fathers, a land that flows with milk and honey. And it's blessing, blessing, blessing. Not burden, 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 I've got to give. It's blessing. They're rejoicing themselves in what they're giving. It's marvellous. It's nothing like the evangelical teaching on tithing. And this is the Old Testament. This is the law. And yet as we see what it's pointing to in Christ Jesus, we can see the glorious blessing, the spirit of the law, the principle of the law that is there. Hallelujah. Now they found this out in the time of Hezekiah. You know what happened in the time of Hezekiah? They found in the temple when they repaired it, the book of the law. Been lost. Neglected. People didn't know what it said. And they found it. And Hezekiah brought it out and they read it. Marvellous. And they read all about tithing. And they decided that it was about time they started tithing according to what the law said. But they didn't do it in the spirit of, oh, burden. Who found this law? They found that as they entered into the spirit of the law, that there was great blessing upon them. And so it was free will, it was grace, it was blessing. Hallelujah. And I'll read to you from 2 Chronicles 31 and verse 5. As soon as the commandment came abroad, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits of corn, wine, oil, honey. There was no delay to do what the law said. And of all the increase of the field, and the tithe of all things, brought they in abundantly. And concerning the children of Israel and Judah that dwelt in the cities of Judah, they also brought in the tithe of oxen and sheep, and the tithe of holy things which were consecrated unto the Lord their God, and laid them by heaps. Tons of the stuff. In the third month they began to lay the foundation of the heaps, and finished them in the seventh month. 4 months collecting it all together. What a mosh up. And there it all was. And when Hezekiah and the princes came and saw the heaps, they blessed the Lord and his people. Then Hezekiah questioned with the priests and the Levites concerning the heaps. And so it goes on, for the Lord has blessed his people, and that which is left is this great store. And there's blessing. There was blessing. A restored blessing when the people gave. When they tithed. When they gave free willingly their all. Now, that's the law. What's the New Testament mind on these things? The New Testament mind is quite clear, I think. First of all, it makes it quite clear in the Scripture, in the New Testament, that giving is not to be something which is done grudgingly. It's quite clear. But giving is to be a blessing. It's not to be imposed as a law, as a rule, as a regulation. So it's out of the window with much of the evangelical idea. But there has to be that inner desire. Now, it may seem a bit later on as though I'm contradicting myself, but I won't be. There's got to be that inner desire to respond to the blessing of God. Jesus said, Matthew 10, verse 8, he said, "Freely you have received, freely give." We can't emphasize the give without the freely. Freely you have received, freely give. How? What does the New Testament say about how we should give? Here's what the New Testament says. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7, not of necessity. Not of necessity. Because someone has pointed the finger at you and says, you are a Christian, you must now give 10%. Paul says, not of necessity, by the Spirit. But what he does say in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 12 is this. He says that you must give, or you ought to give, according to what you have. That's what the Lord expects. Not of necessity, but if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. It's according to what you have. It's not according to what you can spare. Jesus pointed out the widow who gave the two mites. And then he pointed to those who were giving all their gold and of the abundance of their riches, they're giving out of the tremendous wealth they've got. It's nothing to them. You know, it's a little bit they can spare. But he says she has given all that she's got, all her living. She's given everything, 100%. It's not according to what you can spare, it's according to what you have. And she had two mites and she gave all. It's not according to what you can afford. It's not. It's according to what you have. Now let me give you an example from the Old Testament, from 1 Kings chapter 17, where Elijah comes to Zarephath and there's a widow woman. And she's got a bit of meal in a barrel and a cruse of oil. Elijah comes and he says, "Have you got any water? Can you give me something to eat?" And she says, "Well, all I've got is just enough to make, you know, a little bit of food for me and my son, and that's it. It's all gone. I'm going to die." So he says to her, Elijah says, "Now, you just go, but first of all," he says, "make me a cake." "Can't spare you a cake. I can't afford you a cake. That's all we've got." No, the principle the Lord works on is it's according to what you have. What do you have? "I've got a little bit of meal in the barrel and some oil. That's fine. I'll have that. According to what you have." "What do you have?" "All your possessions. 100%. That's fine. I'll have that. It's accepted according to what a man has. Not according to what you can spare, or according to what you can afford, because when you get on those lines, you're saying, that's mine, and that's yours. It's according to what you have. In 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 3, just to emphasize that, it says, "For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves." What to do? To give. Beyond their power. You know, if you looked at it humanly speaking, beyond what they could afford. The next thing that Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 7 is that every man, according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's as you purpose in your heart, free willingly, cheerfully. Romans 12 and verse 8, where Paul is talking about doing things in the right way. It says, "If you're exhorting, wait on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity, Or it says in the margin, let him do it liberally. He that ruleth with diligence, he that shows mercy with cheerfulness. So what have we got so far? The New Testament says, not of necessity, not of necessity, according to what you have, according as you purpose in your heart. And then the next thing is in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 12, verse 2 rather, 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 2, as the Lord has prospered you. 1:16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as God has prospered him. And you give as the Lord prospers you. And here we get the reference really to a proportion. You give in proportion to the Lord prospering you. They gave a tenth in the Old Testament. Why did they give a tenth? That was a good measure of giving all. Why did Abraham give a tenth? It was a good measure of giving all. So there's guidance here of giving all. Paul says that they should do it regularly. That every one of you, on the first day of the week, there should be a regular laying aside, a regular provision. What for? So that there should be no gatherings when I come. What are gatherings? Well, it's the translation of a Greek word which means collections. That there should be no collections when I come. Have you ever been to a church where they don't have a collection? Have you ever met people who are astounded that there's no collection taken up? And yet Paul says that there should be no collections. I don't want collections. I don't want people rummaging about in their bags and purses and pockets to find something to sling in the offering bag, because it won't be done in the right way. Some people will, some people won't. We want this to be done in a free, willing way. We want this to be done in the proper way, of a full heart to the Lord. We don't want people to give grudgingly because a bag has been stuck under their nose. And it doesn't matter how much you announce from the pulpit, please don't feel obliged to give. Please let the bag or the pot or whatever it is pass along the road. If you've sat in a meeting where they've passed a big bucket along, you feel embarrassed not to put something in it, don't you? Now, we have grown hardened, Dennis. We are not normal. People feel embarrassed and they feel they've got to put, you know, find a bit of shrapnel, as they call it. A few 2p pieces which they all... It's not right, is it? And as for passing the bucket around again because there wasn't enough in it, we've been to those meetings too.
Four times.
That's what the New Testament said. There'd be no gatherings when I come. No collections. And in giving. And I do believe that in the principle of tithing, in the principle of giving 10%, there is a measure of giving all. I'm not going to argue about pre-tax, post-tax, whatever tax. It's between you and the Lord. But there is a measure of your willingness to give all that you've got, according to what you have, not according to what you can afford, not according to what you can spare, but of giving. And giving beyond. Giving all. And in it is blessing. Be sure of that. In it is blessing. A giving people are a people that are blessed. People who give what, humanly speaking, they can't afford to give will be a people that are blessed and a people who are in the Lord prosperous. I believe that. And that is true. What's it for? You say it's for God, but that's a vague notion. In the Old Testament, it was for the Levites. And for the people themselves, and for the strangers, and for the fatherless, and the widows, and the poor, and the needy. What's it for? Well, the New Testament says it's for the saints, and it's for the ministry. And we find that where people gave money in the New Testament, in Corinthians 9, Timothy 5, Timothy 6, there is a provision for the ministry, that those that minister the word and spend their time ministering the word have provision. And that the poor, and the needy, and the fatherless, and the widows are provided for. It's for the saints. What did Paul say in 2 Corinthians 8? He said it was for the saints. Sorry, chapter 9, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 9. As touching the ministering to the saints. What ministry is he talking about? He's talking about ministry of substance. He's talking about giving to them according to for their needs. It's for the saints. You try and get money out of churches for the saints. They'll use the tithes and the offerings for the building fund and for this, that and the other, but it's for the saints. That's where the blessing is, that all are provided for. There's a sowing and a reaping principle here. It tells us in the scripture, 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6, he says, this I say, concerning giving, This is the context. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. There's blessing in giving. Luke chapter 6. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, or good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall be given, and they shall give into your bosom. They shall press it back to you, you see. There's blessing in giving. Proverbs 3 verse 9, also a similar idea. Read that one for yourselves. Luke 12, Jesus speaks about laying up for yourselves treasure in heaven. In what context? Giving. Paul tells us in Acts chapter 20, verse 35, some words of Jesus that you won't find anywhere else. The Lord said, says Paul, Acts chapter 20, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So it's for blessing. It's for the saints. It's for ministry. And it's more blessed to give than to receive. Humanly speaking, we don't see it that way, do we? I believe it's for the support of ministry. I believe it's for the support of those that minister the word. It's for to provide for those who minister spiritual things, and it's for the needy and the poor and the fatherless and so on. For outreach, for evangelism, for whatever. To spread the good news, to spread the gospel. You see, in 1 Samuel chapter 8, Samuel told the people that really they were out of line asking God to give them a king, like the nations. And he says, this is what the king will do. The king will take a tenth. You read it there. The king will take the tenth. Now, a tenth was for the Levites. A tenth was for their blessing. But he said, the king will take the tenth. And it's happened really in the churches. They say, we want someone to rule over us. We want someone to conduct all the services. We want someone to do it all. And he can have the tenth. Now I believe that the tithe is certainly for support of the ministry of the word and for the proclamation of the gospel and for the needy, for the blessing of God's people. I don't believe that the tithe is for ambitious, fantastic schemes that people have. You know, send your money, send your tithe to Joe Bloggs Evangelistic Ministries Incorporated. Don't think it's for that. So often they use greed as bait for that, don't they? You know, the backers of this world that entice people to give their money, to give their tithe, to support some fantastic scheme of building a Christian leisure holiday centre or something. That's not what the tithes of the Lord are for. That's not what the offerings are for. That's why in the New Testament you'll find that the money was given to apostles, or given to deacons, or given to those seven men that were full of the Holy Spirit to share out and to administer. Not so there could be some harebrained scheme to use up lots of money. Don't you see it so often? Neither do I believe, although I've mentioned the blessing of the Lord and being prosperous and so on, I do not believe in prosperity teaching. The way it's given out. That if you give, the Lord will bless you in return. Now I believe that there is blessing, but I don't believe we can use it as a shortcut to getting rich. Now, I've got a book at home by an American evangelist, but it shows you the way to get rich, and you get rich by giving, because God will return. So it's like an investment. You give 10%, you give £100 maybe. You earn £1,000, you give £100 to God. And before long, you'll find that somebody's given you a cheque for £10,000. And you give £1,000 to that, but you've got £9,000 stashed in the bank now, you see. And this is how to get rich quick. That's not the teaching of the scripture. Jacob did that. Genesis 28. He said, Lord, if you'll be my God, if you'll bring me to, you know, where you say you're going to bring me, if you bless me, if you do this, he said, I'll give you a tenth of everything. He bargained with God. That's not right. That's not right. And yet this is what they do, isn't it? God promises blessing. Yes. God says, give and it will be given unto you. Yes. Not so that you can get rich quick. God's promises are there so that you move out in faith, so that when you've got two mites. So I don't know how I'm going to live, Lord, but here we are, two mites. They're yours, Lord. I don't know how I'm going to live, but I'm trusting you. And the Lord has promised to provide every need. That's why it says in Philippians, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Why did he say that there in Philippians 4? Because he'd been talking about their giving. He says, you give, because if you give, even what you can't afford, even what you can't spare, if you give according to what you have, God will supply all your needs. There'll be blessing in it. There's the sowing and the reaping principle. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully. If you give, it shall be given to you. God shall supply all your need. Not so you get rich quick, because God knows that if you've got a giving heart, whatever comes back, you will give again and give again. There's no getting rich quick. There's no prosperity in that sense. It's just prosperity in the Lord, trusting him always, moving in faith, giving in faith. In Malachi, God says, "You've robbed me." And they said, "How have we robbed you, Lord?" He says, "In tithes and offerings." He says, "Now you prove me. You bring your tithes in. You give. And prove me now, says the Lord, if I won't pour you out a blessing." You've robbed God. Ananias and Sapphira robbed God of what they had given him. And they took it back. The early apostles gave all they gave. Don't let's get bogged down in precise 10% calculations. Because if you're in that sort of attitude, you're in the wrong frame of mind. And some people have that attitude of tithing, don't they? And they get on a guilt trip if they only gave 9.5% because they made a mistake in their calculations. Because the Lord's going to be angry with them because they miscalculated or something like that. It's the willing heart. "Give me your heart," says the Lord. And give. 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 10% is just the measure. We can go beyond that. He says, "Give me all. It's all his." Don't take what I'm saying wrongly. I'm not saying you should avoid giving or giving only what you can spare. I'm saying we should give all. Everything. And regard everything that we have as the Lord's. And we'll find that in it is blessing. Often you'll find the Christians who are stingy in giving are the Christians who also can't make the ends meet. Always in debt. Always struggling. So I can't afford to give. If you can't afford to give, you'll never be in blessing. You've got to be a giving people. You'll be poor if you don't give. But you'll be rich, spiritually I'm talking about, if you do give. And that's the final verse for this evening. Proverbs, chapter 11, verses 24 and 25. "There is that scattereth," gives, 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 gives. "There is that scatters, and yet increases." I don't understand this, you say. The more he gives, the more he seems to have to give. That's right, that's how the Lord works. Give and it shall be given to you. "And there is that withholdeth," keeps it to himself, "more than his meat," but it tends to poverty. He seems to save it away and store it up for himself, but he never has anything. That's what I just said. Christians who are stingy in their giving, give grudgingly, never seem to have enough. Always seem to be out of money, never have enough to meet their needs. And yet the giving Christian, even though he doesn't seem to have much, always giving, never seems to be in want. Let's give. Free willingly. Free heart. Let's give and give and give. Hallelujah.